Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer.
2 Timothy chapter 1, you'll stand if you would, for the respect of God's Word. It says in verse 6, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou what?" He'll say it together. "Stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of what? Fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Let's read that once again. It says, "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." So much there. We're going to take a little bit of time to unfold a little bit of what we see in this text. Let's bow and pray that the Lord would bless. I'd ask that you speak to, ask the Lord that He would speak to your heart directly and show you where you what you need for this evening's message. Amen. And it would pinpoint those things. Lord, I thank you so much for who you are. And I pray that right now as we study your word, this precious text that we have in front of us, we have it so freely, Lord. We don't have it worrying about people bombarding us with machine guns, taking out all of us because we're worshiping you. No, Lord, we live in a free country. We thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that as we study your word, that you would give us understanding of what the text is. Lord, that you would help us to apply this to our own lives, that it wouldn't just be some foreign concept. Oh, God, I need you to preach. I can't do this. I need you to speak these words through me, Lord. I pray that you'd help me to have a gate on my mouth, to guard me, Lord, from saying anything that's not in your message for tonight. Lord, speak to us, change us, help us to glorify your name. In your name I pray. Amen. And 2,000 years ago, we find that Jesus Christ, in his final words to his disciples, and there in the very seeds of the church, what did he tell them? He says, "Go ye into all the world." Thank you, brother. He said, "Go everywhere." And do what? Preach the gospel to who? Every creature. So go ye, who? Ye, the church, into where? The whole world, all the world, and do what? Preach the gospel to who? Every creature. Pretty simple, isn't it? Another text in Matthew, parallel passage, it says, somebody help me out. How does that start? Matthew 28, verse 18. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations." We ought to go and teach all nations. Amen. Baptizing them and teaching them. He says, "I'm with you all the way even unto the end of the world." It's a great commission. Now, if you look over the course of history, has the whole world received this message? You look over in North Africa. Why is it, I have friends that are there, why is it that they talk to so many people that have met the first a Christian for the very first time when they meet them? Why is it that when they take them a copy of God's Word, that's the very first time they've ever seen a Bible? Why is that? What a tragedy. Why is it in South America you can go through 200 cities just in Colombia alone that don't have a single Baptist church? Wow! I can show you a list. There's city after city after city after city after city. And we're talking about millions of people that don't even have access to the truth. There's so many people. Now, why is it that such a simple command of Jesus, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature," why hasn't that been fulfilled? I think we can trace it back to something Timothy was dealing with. Paul says, "Listen, stir up the gift of God. I charge thee that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands." He says, "For God hath not given us a spirit of fear." There's our key. What is holding us back from reaching the world? You look around this community, and even in Flowery Branch, Georgia, around Gainesville, around Buford, around this whole area, how many people have never heard a 100% clear presentation of the gospel? How many people might be religious, sure, but they've never understood the gospel? Oh, for shame. For shame, with so many churches around here, with us as the children of God, as we go into our workplace, does everybody in your workplace know the Lord? Or let me ask you this, does everybody in the workplace, have they ever heard the gospel? Y'all are in school, young people. I was just there 10 years ago. How many people in your school have never heard the gospel? Maybe you're homeschooled and you say, all my siblings know the Lord. What about your neighbors? What about your friends? What about those people that you never talk to that live down the street that you know don't even care about God? Why haven't we taken the gospel to them? Fear. Paul told Timothy, he says, I put thee in remembrance to stir up the gift of God. He said, Timothy, you're growing stale. You're growing stagnant. You're not going forward. You're going through the motions. You're just a little pond that's sitting there so stagnant. Mosquitoes are coming and laying their eggs in it, and there's mess all around you because you're not going forward. Why is it in our lives we feel like we're just going through the motions? Why does it feel sometimes that we come to church maybe, but we might sing the songs, but we never actually think about what we're singing? We're so accustomed to how things are done, and I don't know how y'all always do things here at this church, but there's a certain time you come in, you sit down, you stand up, you sit down, you stand up, and you sing out loud, and you know the words of the song, so you don't have to think about the song. And you sit down, and you know when to stand up, you know when the offering's coming, you know who's going to sing the special, and when they start singing, you're like, I've heard that before. The pastor opens the Word of God to preach, and you say, I've heard that before. And we go through the motions. Why? Fear. Paul told Timothy, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but he says, be not thou therefore ashamed. Y'all ever hear the song, This Little Light of Mine? One of my favorite songs as a kid. My daughter just learned it this week. It was so cute. She's 2 years old. She just turned 2 last month, and she loves to sing. One of the most funny things is we go into a church sometimes, and just last week, I think it was, she ran and we couldn't find her, and all of a sudden we hear banging on the piano and this little tiny girl voice singing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Just every word she loves to sing. But I saw her singing This Little Light of Mine, and we taught it to her last week, and she's waving that thing around. And she can't say all the words to this song yet. She hasn't heard it enough. But she gets that finger going. Why is it we do this? Why is it we do this with our light? What does that song say? Hide it under a bushel? No, I think the Bible actually says that. Listen, why is it happening? So many people haven't heard the gospel. Fear. But God hath not given us a spirit of fear. You know, Satan wants to control your life with fear. He actually doesn't want you to get completely out of church and deny the name of Christ and completely reject Christianity on a whole. He'd love for you to call yourself a Christian. He would love for you to keep on coming to church, but never live in the power of God. He would love for you to be controlled by fear and say, sure, I'm a child of God, but have that anxiety every day of your life and have your knees shaking with everything that comes in and every decision that you make. He would love for you to have that decision made controlled by fear. Why? Because it's a reproach on the name of Christ. But God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? We're going to look at these three things here. The first thing is, it says, but of... Y'all help me out. All right, once again, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of...
Power.
We're going to take them one at a time, brother. Thank you, brother. I love your passion for the Word of God. He's given us a spirit of power. Let's, if you would take your Bibles, let's turn back to that Great Commission verse I was trying to quote just a little bit ago. Matthew chapter 28. I love the context of this. I don't know if you've ever read this in context. You know, Jesus has already ascended. You know, he'd already invested his life for 3 years, 3.5 years into these men, his disciples. They had seen him do miracles. And one thing after the next, after the next, after the next. He healed the sick. He raised the dead, and he himself was raised from the dead. And here he is, he's already appeared to them several times. I love what it says here. Very end of Matthew, it says Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, what does it say? They worshipped him. When they saw Jesus Christ, you know what they said? There's our Savior. Yet there's God Almighty in the flesh. It's starting to make sense now. He was dead and now He's alive. We didn't understand it then, but we're starting to understand it now. There He is. It said they worshipped Him. Could you imagine being there up on the mountain with just those 11 disciples? And Jesus is there, risen from the dead. He's about to ascend into heaven. I don't think they knew that. But He's risen from the dead. What did it say? When they saw Him, they worshipped Him. But some doubted. And we do the same thing. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself in this complex right here. Oh, Lord, Your God, thank You so much for being great. Now, how am I going to pay the bill this month? You ever been there? Oh, thank You, Lord, for saving my soul. Oh, I just can't get over this sin. It's controlling me. Lord, You freed me from this. And Lord, I can't live on. Lord, I thank You so much. It's wonderful to be Your child. And I don't know, God, can we really reach the world? And I don't know what exactly was going through their minds, but we know this. Some were doubting. I think sometimes in the life of Peter, maybe he was doubting this. He said, listen, I was doing good. I thought I was doing great. I was talking to the Lord. I walked on water and God used me. And we were even sent out and we did some miracles there at one point. But I denied the Lord 3 times. And He knew I would. And then He looked at me. Do y'all remember the story? Right before Jesus died, He looked across and looked at Peter in the eyes right after He denied him. And here's what Peter's probably thinking. I don't think God can use me. I don't think God can use my life. He's God. But I don't think I can do this. I'm not worthy. There's others that were doubting if this was all real. There's others that are wondering if what's going to happen. But it says right after that. It says after some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them. I love that. He knew they were doubting. He came and spake unto them, saying what? All power is given unto who? Jesus Christ. Not just in heaven, but it says all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Because I have all power, because I am almighty, go ye. Go in my power. Later on it says, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Listen. We are struggling with fear because, number one, we don't live in the power of God. That's what we see in our text there in 2 Timothy. It says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. Why are we controlled by fear? Because we aren't in His power. I love what John 15 says. Jesus is teaching the multitudes. And it says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same shall bear much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And that's what we're doing. That's what we do in our life. A whole lot of nothing. Diddly squat. When's the last time you won somebody to the Lord? When's the last time you even shared your faith with a non-believer? Sometimes Christians are so ashamed of Christ, they don't even talk about Him here. They'd rather talk about the game and how the Braves won today. Praise the Lord. They'd rather talk about the weather. They'd rather talk about, you know, this thing or that or their new car or their job or this or that. And they never talk about Christ, even with believers. And when we go out of these doors, the reason it's so hard to get out of that fear is because we don't even live in the power of God. We're ashamed of Him. We're controlled by fear because we don't live in His power. We aren't abiding with Him. When's the last time you picked up this precious book and just started to read it and let these words seep into your life and into your heart and say, Lord, I love You. When's the last time you were abiding in Christ? Because when we abide in Him, He's in us. Did you catch that? And His power is in us. And we shall bear much fruit, the Bible says. But without Him, we can do nothing. Are y'all seeing the connection here? God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of, number one, power. Power. Oh, goodness. We need His power today, don't we? We're going to go on to the second thing. It says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and what? And of? Oh, it is so hard to love folks, isn't it? I was talking to a couple, actually my wife and I, we were eating at a couple's house just a month or two ago. And we had this conversation. The lady was talking about how she had this childhood friend. They were living next to each other for a while, and they went to the same school, and from grade school on up through high school, I mean, just, they went through the whole shebang together. They were together. They were best friends. And they, the one couple introduced the other to her spouse now, and I mean, just really good friends. But then as they got married and had kids, they kind of drifted apart a little. So they said, listen, we're going to take a road trip to New York. We're just going to take a girls' trip, just the one and the other. And, it was interesting. They drove from Georgia all the way up to New York City just to see the sights for a week. And then they were going to drive back. You know what this lady said? She said, by the end of the week, I wanted to kill her. She said, I wanted to reach over and strangle her. It didn't matter if she was driving. I knew I'd probably die too. But I was tired of listening to her. I was tired of dealing with her. I was tired of all her little things she did and the things she didn't do. And oh, goodness. She said, in fact, the whole ride home, they didn't say one word. That's 14 hours, folks. That's a long time. I've driven that road before. Listen, sometimes it's hard to love people. It's hard to love the person a couple aisles in front of you and a couple aisles behind you. It's hard to love your neighbor. It's hard to love your spouse sometimes. It's hard to love your own family here in the house of God. But it's really hard to love our enemies. Oh, goodness. There's so many things we could talk about here. Remember September 11th? Just 10 years ago. Here's what I remember. I watched those TV monitors the day it happened. I was down in Atlanta that day, and we were in a store, actually, and everything just got quiet. They turned up the radio. They brought out a big screen TV and put it all on the monitors. And I remember watching those planes crash into the towers over and over again as they'd replay it. And here's what I heard all around me. Those stinking diaper heads. Just like that. Who do they think they are? We're going to go take them out. You know? None of us deserve God's love, but He gave it to us. I deserve hell. God saved me. But sometimes we look at our enemies and we say, curse on you. We say, I hope they get what they deserve in hell. I've heard that over and over again, and it breaks my heart. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever cleans up his life a little bit and does a lot of good stuff and pleases me can be saved. No. Whosoever believeth in Him shall have eternal life. I love Romans 5:8. It says, but God commendeth or showed His love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It says He died for the ungodly. He died for those that were cursing His name. Before you even knew who God was, He loved you. And when we look out on this world, the reason we're controlled by fear, the reason we look out maybe on North Africa, a place that's so destitute of the gospel, we look down in Colombia where they've struggled with violence for generations, we look over in Asia where there's a completely different culture than us, idols are on every side and they worship their ancestors, we don't understand anything about them, we look at them and we're kind of timid about sharing the gospel with them. It's hard enough with our own kind, right? We would never say that we're racist, but we're so racist. But God commendeth His love toward us. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I remember down in Colombia, we were on our survey trip just last year. And we walked down the street to Bucaramanga. It's a city we're planning on going to. 2 million people, not a single Baptist church. We walked down the street to the city, knowing that these people most likely never heard the gospel. Face after face after face would go by us. You got to understand, down there, people drive, but not as many as here. I mean, the majority of people don't even own a car. The majority of people can't even afford a taxi, so everybody's walking all around the place. And there's thousands of people all around us. And as we look into their eyes, you know what I saw? Condemned already. John 3. Remember that? We love John 3:16. A lot of people love John 3:17. He sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. It says that he that believeth on Him shall not be condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. As I look into their eyes, I realize that some are businessmen that own much more than I'll ever dream of owning. And they're rich beyond their measure, but they have no hope. realize that some of them were the homeless children on the streets, the 8-year-old boys that's addicted to drugs already. He sniffs this industrial glue that fries his brain. Over and over again, we saw these kids doing this, and just they were out of it. Sleeping midday just on a piece of cardboard, people coming by and kicking them. They don't know love. The world doesn't know love. What's the opposite of love? Fear. I think 1 John says it this way. It says, there is no fear in love. For perfect love casteth out all fear. The reason we're fearful is because we haven't learned how to love. We're so in love with ourselves. We can't love each other. And more or less love the world. And definitely, we haven't learned how to love God. What did Jesus tell Peter in the book of John? I love this. It says, you know, Peter's trying to figure all this out. Jesus has already risen from the dead. He says, I'm going fishing. The disciples said, we're going with you. You remember this story? They're out fishing and they don't have anything. And then this guy yells from the shore, children, you have any meat? He says, cast on the other side of the boat. And sure enough, they cast on the other side. And it didn't make sense, but they got all sorts of fish. Then they realized it was the Lord Jesus. Peter jumped out of that boat. You know, long story short, when Peter saw Jesus, here's the conversation that took place. Peter, Simon Bar-Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He said, Lord, you know I love you. You know I'm fond of you. You know, we're buddies, right? He said, no, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs or feed my sheep. He said that 3 times. You know what that tells me? If we want to ever do anything great for God, if we want God to work through us, if we want to overcome our fear and get out of the stagnant spot in our life that we're in, get out of the spinning through the motions, we got to learn how to love Him and love others. Amen? There's another thing here, and we'll be done. It says our text, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and what? Oh boy. I struggle with this one. I don't know about y'all, but I struggle with this one. You know that over 90% of fear is not based on facts, but is based on what we think could happen? It's true. Maybe even more than that. I just made that stat up. Just so y'all know. The majority of our fear is not based on what has happened or what will happen, but it's based on what could happen. Our mind battles this every day of our life. When we're burdened about giving somebody a gospel tract, I'm out of them today. I'm going to use our prayer card. This is not the gospel, but just imagine this is a gospel tract. We know that we ought to share the gospel, right? But when we see that person across the offices at our workplace, or that man across the construction site on our workplace, or that other teenager getting into his locker, her locker, across the hallway. When we see that other person that we don't know if they know Christ, we don't know what's up with them. When we see our family members, this is where it's worse. We see them, we know we ought to give them a gospel tract, and we know we got one. We got a couple at church the other day when the pastor preached a message about witnessing. But we go up, and there he is, and maybe next time. You ever been there? Oh, I have. What goes through our mind in those few seconds? This happens to me every day of my life. What will they say? What if they don't take it? What if they cuss me out? What if they kick me in the face? You ever think that? I've thought that before. You know, in this country, we don't have much to be worried about. We don't really know real persecution, honestly. But fear dominates us. The slightest thought of rejection dominates our thoughts. But God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but He's given us a sound mind. What's a sound mind? It's a mind that's completely stayed on Christ Jesus. It's a mind that says, whatsoever things, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He says, the pure and the godly, all these things that says in Philippians 4:8, I believe it is. It says, think on these things. It says, think on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a mind that would say, setting aside every weight, the weight that so easily beset us, running the race with patience, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's that mind that would say, Christ went through so much for me. What's a little persecution? What's the worst that could happen? Every one of the disciples, except for the Apostle John, died very hard deaths. hard deaths. They weren't just crucified. Many of them were crucified upside down. They weren't just stoned. Many of them were stoned over and over and over again. They were so persecuted. You ever hear of Fox's Book of Martyrs? You read through that, and it encourages me to think of what so many others have gone through for the faith. That helps me have a sound mind. Listen, no price is too big to pay, thinking of what my Lord Jesus paid for me. Nothing is too great. And that sound mind goes far beyond just having a mind that isn't wishy-washy. Like James says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. It goes far beyond that, I believe. Because number one, why do we have fear? Because we don't live in God's power. Number two, because we don't have God's love. We aren't filled with God's love. And number three, because we don't have God's mind. What is God's mind? What is God's mind? Philippians 2 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He's God. He knows He's God. But it says He made Himself of no reputation. He became a servant, took on the form of a human. He died on the cross. Even He died on the cross. What is the mind of Christ? It's that mind where in the garden, as He's praying sweat drops of blood. And He says, "Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will." What did He say? "Let thine be done." Here's what we pray. "Lord, you know I need a new boat. You know, I'm going to get it one way or the other. But I'd love for you to give me a boat. Just miracles, Lord. I believe in miracles. Give me a new boat. Lord, you know I need a new job that pays me bukus more money. Lord, you know I need this and I need this and I need this. Lord, I'm dealing with this sickness. Take it away. God, this is my plan for my life." I remember as a teenager, I made a 5, 10, 15, and 50-year plan for my life. You know, I'm way off track on that plan. Because I had to come to a place in my life where I said, "Lord, it doesn't matter what I want. My dreams, I put them down on the altar. My ambitions, who Aaron Vance I think I should be, Lord, I'm nothing. Not my will, but let thine be done." We haven't gotten to that place. And that's why we're controlled by fear. We live in our own mind. A mind that's so wishy-washy and filled with the junk and lies of this world. And Satan's whispering in your ear all the time, lies. I think it was Job that said this. One of the first few chapters in Job. Might even be Job 8. It says, "The thing that I feared is coming to me. And that which I was afraid of is come upon me." You know, you see, Job, he was a very prosperous guy. Y'all know the story. He had wealth. He had a wonderful wife and tons of children and servants and camels and property and land. And he had just riches beyond belief. He had great health. But then one day he lost it all. But you know what? All through that time he didn't curse God. He didn't reject God. But he said, "The thing that I feared has come upon me." Satan knows sometimes what we're battling with. It's like, Brother Benton, can you help me for a second? Imagine Brother Benton and I were in a boxing match. I don't know who would win. He'd probably win. I'm not much of a fighter. I'd rather just bless him in the name of Jesus. Amen. So if Brother Benton and I are here fighting. Yeah, can I see over here? All right, we're here fighting. And I say this, "I hope he doesn't hit my left side. That's where I'm really weak. I hope he doesn't hit my left side." What's he going to do? If he was any type of fighter at all, he'd know to look for the weak spots. You know, Satan's looking for your weak spots right now. And this is what we do. "Oh, I hope he doesn't grab my right hand, because I can't do anything with my left hand." You know what Satan's going to want to do? Thanks, Brother Ben. I appreciate your help. Y'all get the picture? The thing that I feared has come upon me. Why are we not going forward in our Christian life? Why are we suffering with defeat? Why isn't the world evangelized? Why haven't we grown closer to Christ? Because we're controlled by fear. We don't live in God's power. We're not filled with His love. And we don't have His mind. Church, today is a day to get all this right with God. Amen? I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what your fear is. I had a man come up to me one time. We sat down and talked for a while. He was a lawyer, a very well-to-do man. This guy has, I can't remember if it was a Ferrari or a Lamborghini, just a really nice car. That's just his pleasure car. And he's got BMWs and this and that and this and that. He's got $2 million home. And he came and sat with me one time and he said, "Aaron, you know, y'all are going to Columbia, and that's pretty big. Aren't you afraid?" I said, "You know, when I get in the flesh, sometimes I am. But we got a great God. We got a God that's bigger than anything we could ever imagine." And this is what he said: "I live every day of my life in fear." You know, you and I, if we're honest with each other, we probably do too. Decisions we make, going forward, when it's time to do business with God and make commitments with God, we think of all the what ifs. The sluggard said in Proverbs, "There's a lion in the streets. I can't go out today." He said, it says he will not go out and plow for reason of the cold. He says, "It's too cold today." He says, what if this happens or what if that happens?" And he never does anything with his life. Listen, we got to go forward. Amen. The Lord has a great purpose for us. A great plan. I love what he said. Let's read our text one more time. We're done. It says, "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power. Number two, love. Number three, a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and what? Called us." I love this. "Not according to our works." It's not because Aaron Vance can preach or sing or dance in a bear suit. No. It's because of Him. "According to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus and before the world began." You know what? It's about time we lay our fear at the altar and say, "Lord, I'm letting things hinder my walk with You. I'm letting things hinder my witness. I'm hiding my light because I'm worried about all the things that could happen. But help me to walk in Your power, to live in Your love, and to have Your mind."
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you. And He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin and turn to Jesus Christ and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.